Okay. Good morning. It's good to be with you again this morning. And we're coming today to the third in our little series called, we've got an echo here today, called Standing Firm for God's Honor. 3 weeks ago, Neil introduced us to this series with encouraging us to remember how important it is to stand firm on God's Word, to build His Word into the very foundations of our lives and make His Word to us something that we stand on securely through our lives. And then a couple of weeks ago, Joel talked about standing firm in our commitment to one another. I was going to listen to Joel, but then somebody pointed out to me that it would be impossible to follow on audio alone what Joel was up to a couple of weeks ago. So I'm taking it for granted that he did a good job. And we come today to this, the third in this little series called Standing Firm for God's Honor. And there's a scripture that is kind of holding these five talks together. Words from James' letter, chapter 5 and verse 8, stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. What I want to start off with this morning is just talking for a little bit about why is this standing firm so important? Why is the New Testament full of words like stand, be steadfast, abide, endure? There's something like a recurring theme that comes again and again through the writings of the New Testament. Stand, abide, endure. Stand firm, be steadfast. Why is that so important? Why is that there? Why is it such a central theme in our New Testament? Well, as we start this off, I'd like to you to turn with me to a short passage in Titus, Paul's letter to his younger friend, Titus, who, along with Timothy, was one of the next generation of apostles and prophets and teachers that Paul was seeking to establish. I'm going to read a little bit more than is actually on the screen. So if you want to follow it in your own Bible, it goes from chapter 2 of Titus from verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So, packed with all sorts of good things, isn't it? Those two or three sentences. And we've sung about some of those great truths, about the grace of God and what Jesus has accomplished for us and the security in which we can now stand. So as we come to this, I want you to notice three verbs, action words, or three phrases, each in a different tense. Okay? So there's one in the past tense, one in the present tense, and one in the future tense. So, what's in the past? The grace of God has appeared. There's something that has happened. It's there in the past. And then we go on to say that we have to learn how to live in this present age. So there's a present, and that's the present in which we live. And then there's a future while we wait for the blessed hope that's coming in the future. So there's something, as it were, behind us. The grace of God has appeared for our redemption. Jesus has accomplished something very special in his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Something has happened. There's something in our past. There's something in our future. We're waiting for the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ to put everything right. And where are we? In the middle. We're in this present age. The Celtic people, and we seem to have some sort of resonance with the Celts in this part of the world, don't we? The Celtic peoples used to talk about the mysterious atmosphere of dawn and dusk, that were neither night nor day, neither day nor night, but somewhere in between. And the Celts used to call this the time between times. And in a way, I want you to sort of see that as a picture of what Paul calls in his letter here to Titus, this present age in which we live. Since the coming of the Lord Jesus as Redeemer, what was something that's happened in the past? We're not there. We're not in that past. The past ages, the age of creation, the age of the patriarchs, the age of Israel's prerogative in the knowledge of God, these are past ages. And the age to come, when God's glory will fill the whole of the new heavens and the new earth, is yet to come. We're not there, and we're not there. We live in the time between times. We live in the middle. And it's in there that we have to stand fast. We live in the kind of overlap. We're on a journey. We've left our takeoff point, but we have not yet reached our destination. And journeys can sometimes be difficult, can't they? There can be challenges. Any of you have made journeys, long flights through several airports and stuff like that. Oh boy, sometimes a journey can be hard. But you're not where you started, and you're not where you're going to finish, but you're caught somewhere in between, and that can be quite challenging at times. This is a time, the time in which we live, this time of overlap, this time between times, a time when earth and heaven intersect. We live on earth. Not a great deal we can do about that. This is where we were born, and this is where we are. We live on earth. We are earth people of the earth. But we also are citizens of the heavenly realm. We serve another king. We're citizens of the heavenly realm. And sometimes you feel like this is pulling us apart, doesn't it? We live on the earth. We live in our environment. We live in this present age. But we're constantly being drawn by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, drawn to who we really are as citizens of the heavenly realms. This is a time when time as we know it and eternity overlap. We live in time, and the older you get, Neil, the more conscious you are of time passing. We live in time, but we are possessors of eternal life. We live in one dimension, but there's another dimension sort of working already within us. And this is a time when present and future collide. We live in this present age, but because of what Jesus has done for us, we live by the values of the age to come. Can you begin to see, if you can grasp a little bit of this, why we sometimes feel we're being battered around a bit? because we live in this. I have in the past used the picture of the intertidal region. You know, it's not quite land, because half the time it's sea, but it's not quite sea, because half the time it's land. And it's a sort of special area, isn't it? Do you go as a kid, you go rock pooling and that sort of thing? John and I love to walk on the beach at Seaham Hall, down on the coast near where we live. And we have to walk in that because Dorian has a bit of a dodgy ankle, and so walking on the pebbles is hard, so we walk on the sand when the tide has gone out. And we walk, and it's that rather special ground. Is it sea? Is it land? Well, actually, it's something of both. And this present age in what we live is a bit like that. It's like now, it's like things have been that way, but it's also because there's something in us saying there's something else. We're waiting for the appearing of Jesus. And that pulls us about a bit. Well, that's me anyway. I don't know about you. And because of all this, this is where I think we feel so constantly sort of buffeted. The buffeting of Satan. And sometimes too, the subtle attraction of this world and this world's values and the way that this world thinks. And we lose something of the freshness of that vision that we are headed towards. And because of all this, because of this buffeting of Satan, because of this subtle attraction of the values of this age, that's why James and others call us to stand firm. To stand firm, because we're looking for the vision of Jesus coming in his glory. But what I want to emphasize for you this morning is this. We stand firm not for our own interest. We don't just stand firm because, you know, that's the way we can escape the buffeting and all the rest of it. But we also stand firm for the interest of another. In our standing firm, we're standing to protect the honor of another. Jesus is our model in this. For throughout his life, Jesus stood firm to protect the honor of his Father. I only do what the Father gives me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. You don't really know my Father. You're not honoring my Father. Constantly, it's like Jesus is standing firm for the honor of his Father. And he teaches his disciples, and he teaches us to do the same. We stand firm to protect the honor of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he told them, pray like this: Our Father in the heavens. What's the next word? Hallowed. What does hallowed mean? Be honored. You got there, didn't you? Yeah. Be honored. We don't use the word hallowed very much anymore, do we? Unless it's something to do with Halloween, whatever that is. We won't go there this morning. Hallowed means be honored, be kept holy. That's why some more contemporary translations change the word to something that we can understand, people can understand a little more easily today. The New Living Translation says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. And another translation, the contemporary English version, puts it like this: Help us to honor your name. Now, most of you will be aware, many of you will be aware, that in Hebrew thinking, name stood for character and true identity. If you like, the reputation of someone. So to honor God's name, to honor the name of Jesus, to honor the name of the Holy Spirit, to honor their name is to honor the person, is to honor their character, is to honor their true identity, is to honor their reputation. So when we pray, Lord, help us to honor your name. May your name be honored. It's not just about us. It's not just about standing firm for our own good so that we can put up with the buffetings of Satan. We can move on and grow in maturity. And it is all of those things. We must stand firm for all of those things. But we stand firm as much as anything, or more than anything else, for the reputation of the one whom we represent. To stand firm for God's honor and Jesus' honor and the honor of the Holy Spirit. Because we honor the Father because he has loved us and because he sent Jesus to save us. We honor Jesus because we bear his name. We bear the name of Christ. So we want to honor his name because it's the name that we carry. And people look at us and say, if you're a Christian, why do you do that? How come you think you were a Christian and you act like that? And his reputation is being harmed. And we honor the Holy Spirit because it's through the Holy Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us that sense of identity as the children of God. So that's why we need to stand firm in this present age. We stand firm to honor the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to guard their reputation, to honor their name in all we do. And at this point, I'm going to ask Holly to come and share an experience that she had recently that she shared with me, and I thought that fits in really well to what we want to try and grapple and understand this morning. Okay?
So several weeks ago on a Thursday night worship practice, we started by singing, I think it was the song we started with today, Lord, I Need You. It was words to that effect. And I was actually overwhelmed by my need for God's help. We often talk about grace as that forgiveness, the love, the whatever, but grace is also the power to live honouring his name. And I was very aware of my need for that. I actually ended up a bit of a basket case during the worship session. I just ended up on the floor for quite a long time. And as I was worshipping and praying about this, I was thinking about the fact that actually for me, I honour the Father. I like his provision. I like that fatherly love. I like the sense of security he gives me. I honour Jesus. I like the fact that he saved me. I like the fact that I'm covered by his blood. I like the sacrifice. And I was wondering whether I give the same honour to Holy Spirit. At best, I think we sometimes relegate him to sprinkling a bit of warm fuzzy into our services. But do I really allow him to do as he likes? And I was aware, I was reminded of Jeremiah 18, where it talks about the potter and the potter doing what he likes with his pot. And sometimes I've been aware that, I don't know about you, but I have certainly resisted Holy Spirit. I've controlled how far I'll allow him to go. I've limited it, sometimes because I don't like what it makes me look like. I'm aware of what will people think. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look a mess. I don't want to be a basket case on the floor. I don't want to fall apart. So I've kind of shut things down. I've resisted. And actually, I was suddenly aware of Holy Spirit's pain at how I have shut him out sometimes. I felt his pain because he wants to come and help us to honor Jesus, to empower us to be more like him. Sometimes we reject him because he's a bit wild and wacky, and I have done that. I've gone to things and I've gone, I don't want any of that. No, that looks weird, or that's a bit, don't know, don't want that. And I've tried to control the bits that make me feel uncomfortable. And I was aware of his desire to be allowed in. And I've talked about opening my life up to let Jesus in. We've sang about it lots this morning, about you can do what you like, you can have anything you want, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere. We sing it. And then I stop him and say, yeah, but not that bit, and not like that, and not that way, and I want to control what that looks like. So I ended up on the floor weeping a lot, asking forgiveness, actually, for how I've shut him out, how I've restricted, how I've limited, how I've stopped him having permission to work in my life. And in the process of this whole evening, I was looking at the poster for the standing firm bit and was drawn to the title about God's honour, thinking, I'm not honouring your work in my life, God. I'm not honouring you, and I can't honour you without allowing Holy Spirit full reign. And so I need to give him that full access pass to my life.
Thanks, Holly. Really appreciate your openness and sharing of that. When Holly sent me an email with an outline of what she wanted to share, felt she would like to share, and I'd asked her to share, she added a sentence she didn't mention just then, which was, we don't just need to add the Jesus app to all the other apps in our lives. We face a situation in our culture, a crumbling, dying culture in many ways around us. We stand at a very important intersection of our nation's life, whatever our political leanings might be in all of that. It's obvious that we stand at a crucial time in the life of our nation, in the midst of a culture that's crumbling and dying, and the values that have for so long held our culture together are being challenged and cast aside. And it's no good us just sort of drifting along with the rest, with all the apps that everybody else has, but actually we just happen to have a Jesus app as well. And occasionally we look, I know that's overstating it. I know exactly what Holly meant by that. I'm overstating it because I just want to make that point. Because is it confused? You know, it's a very loud world that we live in, isn't it? It's shouting at us from all sides and in all sorts of ways. And it's so difficult. I just happened to catch a bit on Facebook this morning from one of my grandsons putting on a new Facebook picture, and I just saw some of the comments of his friends, and I thought, I don't like that. I don't like those comments. I don't like the people that he's obviously with. And I'm reminded, sort of close quarters, how grubby, how trivial, how empty the world in which we live is. And it's at that moment that the Holy Spirit, well, I love the way you leave out the Holy thing. Holy Spirit says, stand. Stand firm. Keep standing. It's in Ephesians 6 in the armor of God bit where he says, stand three times. Stand. Take your stand. Keep standing. And when it's all over, still be standing there. Stand. Stand. Not just having the Jesus app going, but our whole lives wholeheartedly affirming who Jesus is as Lord and all that means. Love the tongue and interpretation this morning. Thank you for that. It lifted my spirit significantly, focusing just so clearly on who Jesus is. He's right at the heart of our lives. I felt the Holy Spirit put three areas of life on my. I'm not going to develop them. I'm just going to speak them, and you'll see them on the screen, and ask the Holy Spirit to touch your hearts if they are in any way pertinent to you. I felt there are three important areas in which we should stand firm to honor Jesus and the Father and the Spirit. And the first of these is in our conversation, in the things we talk about, and in the way we talk. in the way we address people, in the way we enter into debates. Sometimes it's so easy to slip in into sort of mean and critical ways of saying things, or that horrible thing where you say something and then say, "But I was only joking," which is pointless because the damage has already been done. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, reminds them, "Let your conversation be gracious and effective, so that you will have the right answer for everyone." Let your conversation sales, I think that's a translation of it, be seasoned with salt. It's just having the right thing to say at the right time in our conversation. And so often, I'm not loading something onto you. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, touch my heart on this too. I know I can miss this. I can dishonor Jesus in the way that I talk sometimes, in the way I respond, in the words that I use. And it's no good saying, oh, he's only joking. In our conversation. The second one, in our conduct. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Peter says, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. It would take another half hour to explore what that might look like, being holy in all we do. But just put it into the context of our subject this morning, so that everything you do honors the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. It's a challenge, isn't it? Again, it's so easy just to fall in with the way that the things are done, the way people around us, in some of our work situations, in staff rooms, in hospital wards, in offices, in workshops, in classrooms, study lectures, or wherever we find ourselves. It's so easy just to flow and respond and react and act not so differently from everybody else. And the Holy Spirit says to us, just remember, be holy, be different in all you do. And the third one, in our convictions, in the values that we hold, in the things that we are convinced about that are true. In Jude, verse 3, in the Contemporary English Version, defend the faith that God has once for all given to his people. Defend the faith. Defend those fundamental convictions of truth about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about Holy Spirit, about what he has done, about what he is doing, about our hope in the future. It's so easy under the pressure of the secular world in which we live. Remember, Sam Stevenson's talk about the giants, the cultural giants, and think they're there and they press in upon us so often, and we absorb things often without realizing it. But to stand firm on those convictions that we know deep down are what our life, what life is all about. So I want to just leave you in a sense with that little bit of a challenge. Are we honoring the Father and the Son and the Spirit in our conversation? Are we honoring our God in our conduct? Are we honoring him in our convictions about what is true and right and good? Let's stand firm then for the honor of the triune God. I found the Holy Spirit speaking to me a little while ago and left me with this phrase. It happens sometimes. I feel, you know, the Holy Spirit just says something. I usually often write it down on a piece of paper over my desk. I have all sorts of bits of paper with various things, and sometimes they're what I've thought about. Sometimes they're just a phrase that I think the Holy Spirit gave me. He said this: a people who are quietly but determinedly different. A people who are quietly but determinedly different. In other words, we don't have to have a big shout about it. We have to go about our lives, go about our daily conversations, our daily activities, and carry with us deep down inside that conviction of truth. We don't have to shout and holler, but quietly, but determinedly be different. That's what it means to stand firm. And I'm going to ask you to make a little bit of response this morning. And it's very simply this. I'm already standing up, so not so difficult for me. But I'm standing up because I need to be standing up to meet the challenge that I'm just about to give you. All right? And that is this. If you feel, you sense, Holy Spirit is just touching your heart, where that maybe in one of those areas, in your speech and conversation or in your conduct, or in not defending the convictions of truth, you may have recently compromised the honor of God's name. And if you feel the Holy Spirit just touching your heart about any of those things or anything else that he touches you, I'd like you just to stand. So, just ask for a little, you know, a bit of honesty, a bit of vulnerability. I'm not going to go around and ask you what it was. And great, if you don't, that's fine. But I know. I know that it's, you know, a real challenge because of that buffeting that we sometimes feel. The buffeting from Satan's accusations. The buffeting from friends and people, family who don't understand us. The buffeting that comes, that stand firm. Triune God, our Father, our Redeemer, Jesus, Holy Spirit, our helper and counselor, we stand before you this morning as a people who long to represent your honor, to stand firm in honoring you in all we say and do, the convictions we carry in our hearts, that we may be different from the people around us. And as we live in this present evil age, looking back with gratitude and worship to what you have done in the past, looking forward with expectation and excitement to what you are going to do in the future, as we make this journey in this present age, help us to honor your name in all we do. Amen. God bless you.